Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier, as we are going to go through a one-round 2024 NFL mock draft post-free agency. I was going to say without trades, but Cody made it say with trades, so I guess we'll have trades. Cody, how the hell are you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I think we're like 5.5-6 weeks away from the NFL draft, and I'm excited to get through another round one mock draft with you.
What's looking like here, I'm on Tankathon for the draft order. 38 days and 5 hours away as we record this. It looks like you have the draft simulator pulled up there from NFL mock draft database that we'll be using for this thing. And as usual, man, this is the first, you know, we'll be doing our final mocks that we'll have up at Roster Watch for the Huddle Report competition and things like that. And certainly more sort of mock draft shows coming into then. I know Cody's done a bunch of mocks already. This actually will be the first NFL mock draft that I participated in. So definitely excited to do it. And I'm sure there'll be some conversation starters here. I'll start out. I'll take the odds. You could take the evens. If we have, what are we doing with trades? Like, are we just going to say if somebody trades up, are we going to work out what the trade is, or?
Yeah, we'll work it out. Or you can just say, hey, I want to do this, and we'll just make it happen.
All right. So obviously we start with pick one. The Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. You know, I just slinging it to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. it's gonna be nice.
It's been the chalk since day one, and I think it does continue to be that way. We saw Justin Fields get traded just the other day to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it seems official. This is where the trade's going to come in. I think it's either going to be a pick two or pick four to the Washington Commanders or the Arizona Cardinals. And I think it's going to be the Minnesota Vikings coming up. They went and got the ammunition last week in a trade with.
So you think that's why they moved up to 23 or whatever, is to be able to get correct. The extra pick so they can get that done?
Correct. So I'm going to go ahead and give them next year's one and then pick 11 and pick 23 to get this done. Let's see here. I don't know why it automatically gave them a second and a third here. I wish I could take that off. It's not letting me take it off.
Is it just – so what's it offering? Is it trying – okay, so it's telling you that you need to give up 111, you need to give up 2025 one, and you need to give up the 23 – and then you're saying that you get back what for? What is Washington?
It says that they want to give them 240 or 2.40, which is the eighth pick in the second round. Uh-huh. I'm just going to go ahead and add a second pick in next year just to get this thing to trade. It doesn't really matter. What it entails is I want to give them the first two picks this year and the first round pick next year. And then it'll just be a bunch of garbage picks, you know, middle round guys, if they do anything else to swap. Okay, so Minnesota moves up from 11 and 23 up to pick number two, and they give up next year's first round pick, and they're going to go ahead and take Drake May, whose high school head coach was Josh McCown, who's the offensive coordinator now for the Minnesota Vikings. Josh McCown also was teammates with Sam Darnold in the New York Jets. So a lot of things are tied together with Drake May. And this is going to be a conversation. Some people think it's JJ McCarthy. Some people think it's Drake May. They trade up to four, it's probably going to be for McCarthy. Trade up to two, it's probably going to be for May.
So with the third pick here, it's the New England Patriots. And I just think this thing's going to, you know, I wish that there were sports books available to us here in Texas where I could have taken the some of the props that came out that at quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. I think that's the way it's going to go. We've heard the reporting saying that Robert Kraft likes both you know, and how much Robert Kraft has to say about this, I don't know. I figure who was the new GM? He's not the GM. Was it Elliott Wolf?
Yep.
His first year, Mayo's first year. You got to figure that in your first year, you're going to be kind of leaning on the owner. You're not going to go. The owner's going to have a say in this. You know what I'm saying? The same way like the Tepper had a big say with Bryce Young. So I do think that this will be Jaden Daniels. They've said that they've basically said. And now whether this is just posturing for like the stuff that happens after the draft, you know, why'd you select this guy? They basically said they like being at three because they basically view their second favorite and their third favorite guy as the same. So with all those things being said right now, I think I'm going with Jaden Daniels there, the quarterback out of LSU and Heisman
Trophy. Pick four, pick four is also an interesting one for the trade conversations. If somebody does want to come up and pay for JJ McCarthy, it would make sense. But when we talked to Monty Austinfort, the question was posed to Monty Austinfort if he thought that Michael Wilson had the potential to be a wide receiver one. He said, I don't like to put those labels on guys like that. But then the immediately next question was, what about Marvin Harrison Jr.? You know, is it important to have an alpha like that? And he was like, yes, 100% yes. And as we've seen through free agency so far, Hollywood Brown departed. They signed Chris Moore from Tennessee. Not really going to be much there. Greg Dortch as well is still on the roster. Otherwise, it's just literally Michael Wilson. So they need a playmaker out here. And there's been rumors of neighbors, Marv, Rome. I think it's going to continue to be Marv here at pick number four for the Arizona Cardinals.
With the Chargers at number five, this is tough for me because in a scenario where trades weren't involved, I was just going to go ahead and ship them Malik Neighbors. You know, I know that there's I forgot who I was reading with this or somebody tweeting with this saying, well, you know, Jim Harbaugh didn't ever really like to draft quarterbacks or draft wide receivers early. And the one time he did it in San Francisco was AJ Jenkins, and that was a bust and all this stuff. And, but you know, the new GM out there, Ortiz, comes from the Ravens. We saw that they took a first, you know, we've seen them take first round wide receivers all the time. Even last year. Right. So, but man, it feels to me like, does it feel to you like this is a good spot to trade up? Is there, like, would people be scared about JJ McCarthy here in front of, because what would be the real threats? The first threat, so the Giants, is that a real threat for quarterback? I mean, maybe it
potentially.
Could be.
Potentially. They've opened the door and said that they're regretting paying Daniel Jones, and they brought in Drew Lock and told Drew Lock he's in a competition. So
Tennessee, I don't see it as one. Atlanta, don't see it as one now with Kirk Cousins there. Chicago, clearly for this thing. Jets, maybe at 10, but would they move up? I'm not so sure. I mean, and Minnesota's already moved up. I don't know if this is a trade up spot for a quarterback here at five.
And Denver's the one team that does need it, right? Denver and the Raiders, and they're both in the same division.
But wouldn't Denver want to? Denver might want to trade up to get ahead of Minnesota's not there anymore. They would need to trade up to get ahead of Washington, because Washington probably hopes that McCarthy would fall. So Washington is now at 11. So I think that the Chargers have to stand pat. I think they would like to trade back, but they stand pat and they take Malik Neighbors. They need to take him, man. Josh Palmer is your number one, just stinks, dude. And they've lost a ton of pass catchers. That's a great way to rebuild it with a true alpha number one. And it would be about as terrific a landing spot as I can imagine, given the lack of competition and the quarterback competency.
So we start out quarterback, and then Marvin Harrison and Malik Neighbors come off the board here to the Chargers. The Giants, like you just mentioned, could potentially be in this quarterback market for JJ McCarthy. They brought in Drew Lock to be competitive. They've signed four offensive linemen over the course of the last week and a half. And they have the best one on hand right now. They could go Joe Alt. They could go Olufoshanu. I think both are very interesting. For this iteration, though, I want to go receiver. I'm going to go Rome here. They have Darius Slayton. They've tried this thing out now for 5 years with Darius Slayton trying to be a good stretch guy. And we know he's not an alpha. Jalen Hyatt, we know he's not an alpha. Wanda Robinson, he's a slot guy. They need an alpha here to give Daniel Jones a true shot. And maybe this is smoke, them saying they don't trust Daniel Jones, but they do need to eventually give him enough talent around him to see what he can potentially be, now losing a Darren Waller as well. So I'm going to give them Roma Dunze here.
You think that they're that confident? Who did they got, like Illuminor or somebody like that? Is that the guy that they have played?
They signed Illuminor to play tackle. They signed two guards, John Runyon and Aaron Steiny. So them signing two guards is really kind of what deterred me from thinking that they're going to move Evan Neal into guard. And they signed Illuminor, who's a veteran that can work a little bit with Evan Neal. I don't know. Again, we're not inside the building, so we can't. All we can do, like you always say every year, they tell us their true colors on the draft, but also they ankle it going into the draft during free agency, and it's kind of warning us kind of where they view these positions, where they spend and where they don't. So I'm going to go ahead and just believe that they're probably not. I mean, it's going to be tough for anybody to pass up on Alt or Fashanu sitting here at 6, 5, 6 for both the Chargers and Giants, but for this iteration, I'm just going to go ahead and give him Rome.
Well, it's, I mean, at seven, that makes it, at seven, that makes it easy for me, because, you know, people that we know around the Tennessee Titans that generally know this stuff pretty well, just feel like, you know, they're all in for Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu. So, with Alt off the board, I think that, let's see, who's their right tackle right now? Dylan Reduns. And then who's their leaving left tackle right now after Luan? Nicholas,
it was Andre,
right? Nicholas, I think it's or is might Skoronski maybe play left?
I don't think so. It was Petit Frere playing left, and then Ray Duns at right.
They go Fashanu here. They're going to figure out a way to get Olu Fashanu is the pick. I feel like they want Joe Alt or they want Olu Fashanu.
All right, plug it in. And that leaves the Atlanta Falcons on the board at pick number 8. And they, of course, answered the question what they were going to do at quarterback with Kirk Cousins. They spent money on Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, and they haven't done anything on the defensive side of the football. And this
Rondale leaves, can't go another year with a fantasy football pick. He just can't, He can't do it.
And they signed Lorenzo Carter from the Giants last year as kind of an edge guy. They drafted Arnold Ebiketie this year. They're going to draft another edge rusher, and that's going to be Dallas Turner from the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's going to be the first edge rusher off the board.
I mean, Turner's good, man. I some of the games I watched of him this year, I've watched back a few of his games with the coaches film. I mean, I think he's good. I'm a little bit surprised that he seems to be getting such steam here kind of late in the process, but it could just be like the draft kind of flat circle stuff that we always talk about. For a while there, it seemed like a bunch of people might be a little bit more down on him, and all we heard about was you know, Latu and the rest of these guys, Verse. But all right, so let's see here.
Chicago.
Let me pull up their depth chart. Is this one of mine or one of yours? This is
yours.
It is? What is
Chicago? Yeah, I just drafted Turner.
Okay, so Chicago. You know, everybody says that they are going to, they like, even after they went out and got Keenan Allen and all this stuff, that they're going to still take a wide receiver. I don't see it. That wouldn't be what I would do. The Bears, they can still use edge rush help. It's still a little bit early, I think, for any of the interior line stuff. I don't know off the top of my head, Cody, how happy they are with Tevin Jenkins. I know he got off to a rocky start with those guys, but you know, some of the people say that he was a lot better, you know, last season. And of course, they spent the first round pick on Darnell Wright last year. So I don't know if this is too early for the next offensive lineman to come off the board. Do you think that Jared Verse is maybe a little bit redundant with a Montez Sweat? Or do you think that pairing's pretty good? They're two very strong, powerful guys. You know,
I think they draft either one of these edge rushers and they're happy, Turner or Verse.
All right. Jared Verse is the pick for Chicago.
New York Jets on the clock, pick 10. This one's very interesting to me. Alt falling here to 10. They just signed, they traded for Morgan.
Hold on. Alt fell?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that, dude, I would have picked Alt for the Titans.
No, you picked Olu. They were both.
That's
there.
Fine. I'll pick Olu. But I forgot that I didn't send the chart. I forgot that I sent the Chargers neighbors. That's my bad. Okay. But anyway, dude, Alt has fallen here.
Alt to the Jets is a hammer. They signed Tyron Smith, old man from Dallas. Morgan Moses comes over from Baltimore, two aging tackles, but they're gifted a perennial next 10-15 year guy in Joe Alt here. I also think Brock Bowers would be an interesting one here, given that Xavier Gibson is currently their slot receiver. and their tight ends are Tyler Conklin, Jeremy Ruckert, who they haven't gotten a ton out of. I think Bowers would be a nice Swiss Army knife for this offense, but I'm going to give him Joe Alt to protect Mr. Aaron Rodgers for the next couple of years.
Okay, so now we're back to Washington via Minnesota at 11. Right?
Yep.
So, and McCarthy's still there?
Yep.
Give them their quarterback, man. They need it.
Right,
they
picked it, right, they, in front of Denver.
And they picked up, and now Denver is just going to be sitting there with their pud, man. Like, I think that that's the move. I think that's the move. All right. Either that or somebody trades up with the, could we find a trade partner here with Washington where they accumulate even more picks? I'm not sure we need to. I don't know who would necessarily be in that tough of a spot to trade up. Maybe I guess the Raiders could technically jump Denver. I think it's fine. Let's just leave it like that. Maybe Minnesota, maybe Washington the whole time is thinking we can fall back to 11 because our biggest trouble is Denver at 12. And if Denver wants to trade up, you know, ahead of us, then they'll trade up ahead of us and we can have backup plans. But yeah, so let's send Washington JJ.
And I think in both of those situations, they're sitting there and it's going to be tough for the Jets to trade back if an Alt falls, if a Bowers falls, if a Verse falls. Same with Chicago. Like, if those guys are falling, why would you want to move back three spots and potentially lose out on that tier one talent? So Denver is now on the board here. Denver, of course, lost Russell Wilson. Currently, they're looking at Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. I'm not going to give them a quarterback. I'm not going to take Bo Nix or anything like that right now. They addressed the defense. They brought in Malcolm Roach on the defensive line, Cody Barton at linebacker, and Brandon Jones at safety. They really haven't done a ton. But I think one place they did need a lot of help last year was on the defensive line on the interior. But we know they're unhappy with some of their receiving options. They're unhappy with Dulcich. They brought in Troutman. Troutman's not an elite receiver, more of a blocking type in the Sean Payton offense in New Orleans. They got rid of Jerry Jeudy. Tim Patrick coming off an ACL. Brock Bowers falls to 12. Brock Bowers is now a member of the Denver Broncos.
Yep. He's a Bronco. Okay, things fall like this, and whenever I look at the Raiders?
Yep.
The Raiders. Okay, so they this last week bring in Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby.
Sick.
They like their linebackers. They love Spillane and Diablo and these guys. Not that they would be taking a linebacker just yet, but I was looking at their corners. And it looks like, that's a big – I mean, what – they're projected to start Jack Jones and Brandon Faison next year. They have Nate Hobbs, who I think was their highest-graded corner last year, but he plays a lot of the nickel. So, for me, I just think about an Antonio Pierce team. I think he'd like to form up all levels of the defense. And just a total dog, the Raider way, my guy, Quinyon. Goes right here. Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo.
And just like that, I think New Orleans feels sniped as they're looking at cornerback as well, starting Paulson Adebo right now, who hasn't been a highly graded cornerback the last couple of years as a third-round pick in 2021. Marshawn Lattimore is entering year 8, and he's regressed a little bit, came back up, regressed a little bit. They need more help on the back end, so they're going to get, 1B in this class, Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama.
Okay, so Indy is up next, and I'm just like, gosh, what do they?
I think they feel spited as well. I think they're in a spot to take a cornerback as well.
They like corner too. They don't like so you took Terrion Arnold. I mean, could we go back to back Alabama corners here? Does the draft industrial complex think this is too early for Kool-Aid?
I mean, the draft industrial complex, like, it's going to come back around on him. Kool-Aid's not going to be a 25th overall guy. He's just not.
They didn't throw at Kool-Aid as much as they threw at Terrion Arnold. Don't you remember that we looked at that? It was like so many more teams threw at him. Let me just pull it up and make sure, because I think they have a needed. I remember thinking that they could really use an edge rusher. Let me just pull up their roster real quick just to make sure before I send them Kool-Aid. So They still have Quiddy Pay. I don't. They have other guys that they can bring off the edge. Gosh. Abaware sure is buried on the depth chart right now. Golly, I was expecting bigger things from him this year. Your cornerbacks are what? Dallas Flowers and Juju. Oh gosh, yeah, man. So give them, send them Kool Aid. Send them Kool Aid McKinstry from Alabama.
Kool Aid McKinstry there at 15. So back to back to back at the cornerback position. Seattle is in a spot where they currently don't have a guard on the roster, but I don't feel good about giving them Jackson Powers Johnson right here. He to get medical checks. 16 right up there a little for the early.
Northwest.
Yeah, 16's a little early for me though. I don't really want to go there. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stay on the West Coast though, and I'm gonna give them Liatu Latu. Latu got himself up into the top 9, top 10 conversation. Latu falls here to 16. I think this is a prime spot for him, and I'm gonna send him up to the Seattle Seahawks to play where they have currently playing Boye Mafe, Chenin Wosu off the edge. They need another guy coming off that edge, getting after the quarterback.
Oh, so what am I, the Jags?
Yep.
So the Jags, we know from what they've said at the, you know, from the questions that they were answering at the combine that the media around there is always asking them about cornerbacks. I'm not let me just see. They keep on asking about it, but since then they have brought in, was it Darby? Let me just pull it up. Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, so they bring in Eric Armstead. They bring in Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage. Okay, so maybe corner's not quite what it was back at the combine. You've already taken Latu. Man,
their interior. I take Graham Barton here every single time. The guy. Let me just
look. So they brought in. Oh gosh, yeah. So like they're trying to flex seal this thing with Mitch Morse at center, and they still have Ezra Cleveland and old Brandon Scherf. I can't send him Jackson Powers Johnson. Do I have to send him Graham Barton?
No, why, dude, why, send, why send him Jackson.
Yeah, man. I want to send him JPJ.
Okay. And number 18, the Cincinnati Bengals are sprinting, dead sprinting up to the counter.
To
give them Byron Murphy, the next Geno Atkins in Cincinnati to play defensive line. They just signed Sheldon Rankins, but next to him is BJ Hill. They need to close the interior and make a sick defensive line. Hendrickson, Hubbard, Rankins, and Byron Murphy.
And, dude, the Rams are sick with themselves. They could have got the Aaron Donald replacement, right? So the Rams, I've always thought that this could be a place where, I mean, is Fatanu still out there?
Fuaga and Mims.
Talisi, what's Talisi? It's Fuaga, right?
Correct.
Dude, let me just pull up the Rams depth chart and like let me make sure here. But I think that I don't think he falls any farther than this. But man, that's also, It's also a spot where you could see maybe a Wiggins or something. Let me just look here. Wait. That's the Chargers. I'm like, fuck. When did Trey Pickens go to there? Those guys. The Los Angeles Rams, Rob Havenstein, Alaric Jackson. Oh, gosh. I mean, yes. Dude, send them Talisi Fuaga to the Rams at pick 19.
That's a mega win. That's a mega win for the Los Angeles Rams. Pick 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers, back-to-back years. They're going round one, offensive tackle, Georgia. They're going to move Broderick over to the left, and they're going to bring Amarius Mims in. He's going to work himself in slowly, just like Broderick Jones did, into the right tackle position. They're going to have Georgia bookend tackles for the next 10 years.
Miami. See, I'm working here on because I only thought we were going to go one through 16. So I did. I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. But Miami, I do feel like whenever we heard them being talked about, they worry about their interior offensive line. They worry about the defensive line. What about? Do we still have on board the Illinois? Kind of, he reminds me of what's his name? Newton?
Johnny Newton.
Yeah. He's still on board?
Correct.
Let me look and make sure what this looks like post Wilkins. Again, you'll have to excuse me here for not being completely prepared. Let's see. Oh God. Yep. Newton to the Dolphins. That's the same thing. Running up to the podium for that one based on just general need.
Appreciate you guys all in the chat for tuning in here. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe and stay tuned in to Roster Watch on all platforms. Parker Blake did jump in the chat. He gave us a little lesson on Talisa Fuanga. Is that how you say that?
Fuanga. All these guys put add an N into that thing, like at Texas, Leunga Lafau and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I don't know why they do that.
It's a good one. All right. Philadelphia Eagles here. They have been trying to pass this wide receiver three role for a while. Back when they drafted Quez Watkins, they brought in John Hightower. They brought in Julio Jones last year. They just signed Devontae Parker. I'm not buying the Devontae Parker stuff. They're drafting Brian Thomas Jr. here. They brought in Saquon Barkley. They need some stretch. They need some explosion. And bringing in Brian Thomas makes every quadrant on the field impossible to cover. You got Brian Thomas down, AJ Brown doing his thing, Devonta Smith running the routes, Goddard down the middle, Saquon, Hurts. Good luck, Brian Thomas, Philadelphia.
Who do I have? Is this Minnesota?
Washington Commanders again.
Oh, because it's the Commanders. Okay. So they've already gotten their quarterback stuff. Let me pull up the Commanders real quick. See, I don't have a good idea of exactly where they would go. I know that they can definitely use offensive tackle. There's still probably one here that they could go with. So we still have Fatanu on the board. We still have JC Latham sounds like somebody that they might take at that for that right tackle spot that they thought Cosme was going to be able to play before they bumped. I think that's it. Send them. But I do think this is a sneaky. I do think this would be a sneaky spot for somebody who the draft community seems so down on and chop. I could see that just as well, but I think that I think that I'm going to go chalk here, and I'm going to say JC Latham to Washington.
All right, there it is, Dallas Cowboys. I'm thinking about going back to the offensive side of the football. They could use a guard / center and one player that can do both of those things. I think he might be listed as a tackle. He's not. He's listed interior. Good. Graham Barton here, pick 24. Can play guard, can play center. They can work him in year one. They need the help. They need the depth. Graham Barton, Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers on the clock.
Green Bay. Is Jaire Alexander still in? Good.
He's still there. I mean, it sounded like at the end of the year he was going to depart, but he's still on the roster. And this is definitely one of the spots that I've looked at cornerback multiple times on.
Because we still have Wiggins on board, right?
Yep. Most of the Wiggins, Cooper DeJean.
Doesn't Wiggins go in front of Cooper DeJean?
I think so. I don't think we've seen enough.
What about Bakhtiari? Hold on.
What about him?
What about somebody like
Guyton?
Yeah, like Tyler Guyton or Did we already send off? Did we already send off Washington Fatanu? No.
He's still available as well.
Gosh, doesn't he seem more like you that he's going to have to play guard at the next level? If you're looking for your true future left tackle and the guy that everybody I've talked myself into it. I'm going to send him Guyton from Oklahoma. Everybody says that he's just a nightmare to go against, whether it's the Senior Bowl or whether it's the guys he faced last year. He doesn't have much experience, but he's got really, really good feet, plays a lot stronger. I've gotten to like him more and more throughout the whole entire process. So that's a guy that maybe could even go earlier than this, I think.
And we're going to go a fourth consecutive offensive lineman. As I'm going to take Fatanu with that next pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers currently have Sua Opeta playing left guard next to Tristan Wirfs. They bring in Troy Fatanu right now to play the opposite side of Vita Vea. They went back to Washington 10 years ago. They're going to do it again now, and they're going to get Troy Fatanu at pick 26 to play guard. Arizona's back on the clock.
They go wide receiver at least to start. I don't think Wiggins keeps falling this far. Let me just look and see here with the Cardinals.
They need.
They need send them Nate Wiggins from Clemson, dude. Mr. Speed. You need speed on the back end nowadays in that division. Yeah, dude. Wiggins.
Buffalo has been penciled in wide receiver here numerous times. They did bring in Mac Hollins this offseason, Curtis Samuel. They have Khalid Shakir on the roster. They signed Andy Isabella to a futures contract as well as KJ Hamler. Generally, every year, Buffalo is the toughest for me to kind of wrap my head around what they're going to do. And I don't think they're going to go receiver. I think they understand this is kind of something we'll see, I think, be conversed more and more as the weeks go by here. But the depth of this receiver class is going to allow some of these teams to kind of push it off a little bit. So I think they will do that. They brought back Von Miller. AJ Epenesa hasn't been the best on this edge. I think Penn State's Chop Robinson stays in the Northeast, and he goes even further north, and that's to Buffalo. Chop Robinson, 28 Buffalo Bills.
I know one guy that sure interviews like a lion. Seems to fit the mold real well. Let me look and see. And they got what? They got Carlton Davis, Cameron Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley. Welcome to Detroit Rock City, Mr. Cooper DeJean. Right?
I haven't thought about that one.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that one.
Hey.
I like that.
Hey, he's gonna get along with those dudes just fine. He's gonna go rocking downtown with like eight with the Aiden Hutchinson and the boys at night, man. It's gonna be good.
The Baltimore Ravens are on the clock here at 30, and they're currently starting Daniel Falele, the big 6'8", 370 pounder from Minnesota a couple years ago. And they're a little soft on the interior at guard on both sides. I think tackle's an option here. Seen Sua Matia's name brought up some the last month. Jordan Morgan as well. I don't really want to go that direction. I don't think Frazier's a pick here. I think tackle's something you could potentially see Morgan end up being that eighth or ninth offensive tackle in round one. But I think what the Baltimore Ravens do every single year is they allow value to come to them. And in this draft, the clear and utter value so far is at the wide receiver position as far as what has fallen to them that maybe shouldn't have fallen to them. And they get to pick which one of these receivers they want. They like Bateman. They like Flowers. Bateman's a little closer to Adonai Mitchell as far as a play style. Nelson Aguilar is the odd man out here. They're drafting Xavier Worthy at pick 30.
Oh, no. Come on. That's all the Worthy I have in Dynasty. I'm not sure I want him going there. But
That's how it works. It definitely makes sense.
How it works. And they just shipped away Duvernay. Was that Jacksonville?
Yep.
That could absolutely be it. I'm 31. I'm San Francisco. They need offensive tackle, right? They need to get that thing shored up. Did you say that Jordan Morgan?
Sumatia and Patrick Paul. Those are the three best available.
But I know he's more of a guard, but is Grant Barton gone?
Yeah, I took him.
He's long gone.
Yeah.
I'll go Jordan Morgan from Arizona. Keep him out west.
All right.
You got the last pick.
The last pick, the Kansas City Chiefs. They currently have L'Jarius Sneed on a franchise tag.
Think they're going to be able to ship him? They certainly want to.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Ennis Rakestraw is in state in Missouri. Kamari Lassiter did not have a good pro day last week. I'm not sure they want to really draft corner here. I do think an interesting one. What do you think about this one? I'm going to ask you this, Alex. They bring in Marquise Brown. They have Rashi. But Justin Watson, what are the odds that they try to just wreck the whole receiver room? They found Rashi last year. They hit. They bring in Marquise Brown, and then they draft Adonai Mitchell here at 32.
Well, here's the thing. If you consider the fact that it's just a one-year deal for Marquise Brown, right? And I was out hunting last week when this thing went down, but I did see it. And it was, it's basically what, a $7 million deal that can be worth up to $11 million, right? So if he does have the kind of season that they would be hoping for out of a Marquise Brown, to be able to bring a vertical element to that offense that's better than, you know, it's more closely, who's a closer approximation of a Tyreek Hill type of player than Marquez Valdes-Scantling ever was for them, right? And he does have a good year, and he does make some of those incentives, and he earns what's an $11 million contract. He's going to need to get a bigger contract, and they're not going to pay whatever. He'll be 30-year-old, 31-year-old Marquise Brown on any sort of big extension like that. So they will inherently need another receiver. And we don't generally think of Adonai Mitchell as a player with the speed to burn. You know, that's not his play style, but if you look at what he was able to do with the combine, you see the 4.35 speed. And look, I say, Adonai Mitchell, welcome to Kansas City.